And as Mike Schecker mentioned, we also want to welcome all those that are watching via live stream or later on our channel. Happy Easter to you all, to our online community as well. Thank you for joining us. As a Chicago kid who actually is an Illini, mixed feelings, but congratulations to the Huskies for that amazing victory last night. Mixed emotions, but congratulations. Mike also went over different ways in which you can engage and take one next step in not just getting to know us as a church family, a church community, but also in your faith journey. And so as Mike has shared, we have basically four steps, which we have named Welcome, Discover New Life. Our Welcome Brunch coming up next Sunday. We have our Discovering Trinity class the Sunday after for 4 weeks. We have something brand new called the New Life class that will start on the 21st, and then Life Groups, which is our small groups here. And so as you begin to navigate and make decisions, and as you feel comfortable, these are our next steps that we offer to you. Welcome, discover, new life. And so handouts are available outside the sanctuary as well. And any of these, your questions or signups, everything gets sent to connect@trinitycovenantchurch.org. We have launched into a series during this special season for the Christian church called Lent, and we're wrapping it up today with Easter, and we have journeyed on reflections on the cross and Jesus and who he is and why he's so important and what he has done for us. And today we mark the end of that series with a message titled The Death of Death, Mark chapter 16. So I'll go ahead and read that for us, and you can look up on the screens or from where you're sitting in the Bibles that you have in front of you. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. So see the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, from trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In an ancient, arid, Near Eastern city, one singular event will occur this day, unleashing a movement so compelling, so enduring, so influential, so unstoppable, that 2,000 years and billions of adherents later, it will still be growing. Faster than ever, while the mighty empire that witnessed its birth will long lay in ancient ruins. This movement will shape nations, span oceans, birth universities, launch hospitals, transform tribal peoples in the world's remotest places, and be spoken, read, and sung about in more languages than any other religious movement by far. That singular event, the body of Jesus of Nazareth, will exit his tomb. John Bloom. I believe that wherever you are in life, no matter how old or young that you may be, that there is a hunger for renewal and newness in all our lives. Whether you are a teenager, whether you are a young adult, whether you are in your 80s or beyond, all of us, as we sit here this morning, have things that have happened in our lives that cause us to hunger for a renewal or a newness in our lives. Perhaps you are undergoing some physical challenges in your health, and you remember what your body was once like in your 20s or 30s, or maybe even the 60s were the good old days. It's all relative, is it not? But as we encounter sickness and physical challenges, as all of us are aging right before our eyes, some of us wish for a physical renewal. I think even more significantly, we think about the relationships in our lives that are represented in this room. Relationship of marriage, relationship with your child, a friend, a granddaughter, a grandson. And as we sit here this morning, as we think about those relationships in our lives, if we're very honest, there is a lot of pain. There's a lot of deep wounds. And we wish for a renewal, a do-over, newness in some of the key relationships in our lives. And perhaps you find yourself in circumstances where you wish that it could be a little bit different. You wish perhaps that there could be a renewal, that somehow if we could just change things in the past, perhaps we could experience that newness or new beginning. And as I was watching X-Men, an oldie but a goodie, Days of Future Past, with my kids, introducing them to the older school Marvel Universe, their ability and this opportunity for Wolverine to go back into time, to make changes in the past that would impact that present that he came from and the long-term future, brought up a lot of questions of, if I could go back into time, what decisions and how would I conduct myself differently if, certainly, if we were able to look at the past and visit the past and make things different. But we know that we can't. Whether it's our physical bodies, whether it's some critical relationships in your lives, whether it's circumstances that you find yourselves in because of decisions you have made or others have made upon you, we all crave and long for renewal, newness, a do-over. And so we strive to make changes in our lives, hoping that things could be different. But so often than not, many of those changes are merely cosmetic. It's rearranging chairs on the deck of a ship that is slowly sinking. And deep down inside, we come to grips with the painful yet humbling understanding and revelation that maybe things aren't really any different, no matter how much you long for renewal and newness in your life. And no matter where you find yourselves here this morning, this is where the Easter story comes in. Bible teacher N.T. Wright reminds us that the resurrection was the first visible sign that the revolution was already underway, that God is already at work offering newness, a new beginning, a do-over for your life. He says this, that something has happened clearly that has unleashed this new kind of power into the world, chain-breaking, idol-smashing, sin-abandoning power as we stare into the empty tomb. The empty tomb and the risen Lord is not just a validation point that he really was who he claimed to be, as not just a mere teacher, but the Son of the living God, God himself. It's much more than that. The cross and the empty tomb are part of the gospel story, essential, critical, and gives us hope that has unleashed a power in this world that all of us, if we could just grasp and find that newness and renewal in our lives, we would do it in a split second. But something has happened. And we can find hope that this life, this renewal, this newness is something that we could actually experience. We don't have to have a pipe dream of maybe things could be different if only I can change this or that about my life. The resurrection of Jesus has unleashed a power, because now his life, as the Bible reminds us, is indestructible. Hebrews 7 reminds us that by the power of an indestructible life, for it is witnessed of him, Jesus, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. An indestructible life that the greatest enemy that we know, death itself, has now been absorbed by Jesus, and by him conquering it, never to die again. It is an indestructible life that now he offers to you and I. There are a lot of things that we try to build in our lives to make it indestructible, but often we fall short. But when we find in our world and in even the animal kingdom, things that are pretty indestructible, it is absolutely fascinating. Just recently came across this from my kids, a tardigrade. One of the most indestructible animals on earth. I guess they're also nicknamed water bears. They can survive up to 30 years without food. Talk about extreme diet. Wow. They can live in volcanoes. They can endure the vacuum of space. And researchers believe that they could even survive an asteroid-like impact that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. Fascinating creatures that are almost indestructible. No matter what you throw at it, it keeps on getting up and surviving. This characteristic and quality of that which cannot be destroyed is something that we pursue in our lives and we love to experience. We do everything and everything we can to protect our families, our children, our grandchildren. We hedge our lives to protect ourselves financially. We live in homes away from the safety, away in the safety from the elements. We drive bigger and safer cars. We want to see ourselves as indestructible, but deep down inside, we know we are not. Jesus, the indestructible one, is the one who is able to offer his life for you and I. It is once we have this indestructible life, the resurrection life of Jesus, that true renewal can take place. We all long for that do-over. We all long for renewal and newness in our relationships and in our health and in the circumstances of our lives. If we could go back into time, who of us wouldn't do things a little bit differently as we live with the consequences of our choices and things that have happened to us that are out of our control? But if there is a life that is indestructible, that has conquered sin and death, it is only through that life can we experience that renewal, a true second chance and a new beginning by the power of Jesus Christ. And that is what he offers you and I who long for a new beginning, who long for a renewal, who long for newness in our lives. And over the past couple of weeks, we have been reminded that in the cross of Christ, that our sin has been dealt with once and for all. We have been forgiven, we have been set free, and we have been made altogether righteous. You can be new in Jesus Christ. We are now, for those that have come to know him, now alive to God in Christ, and we have been freed from the poison, from the penalty, and the power of sin. And secondly, just the other week, we have been reminded that our past regrets, our shame, our suffering is never wasted when we turn to him, the one who can take these crucifixions of our lives, as we were reminded by Pastor Rick Warren, and turn them into resurrections. In Jesus Christ, everything changes. Lives can be changed forever. It is this Jesus who stood up and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What does the empty tomb mean? It means that Jesus brings dead things back to life. Jesus brings dead things to life. And as we reflect even in this beautiful stained glass artwork, the scenes from Jesus encountering those that are sick, the doubtful, the sinner, offering them newness, renewal, and new life. Is there anything that you have been through that you wish could be renewed in the resurrected Christ? You can have a new beginning. David Matthews reflects on this weekend. He says, God wrote good on the single worst day in the history of the world. And there is not one day or week, month or year, or lifetime of suffering, not one trauma, not one loss, not one pain, momentary or chronic, over which God cannot write good for you in Christ Jesus. Satan and sinful man meant that Friday for evil, but God meant it for good. This is the power of the living Christ who rose again and conquered the grave. And the things that you dream of, wish you could do over again, wish that you could have renewal and life, he can take that, renew it, redeem it, and give you new life. Amen. As postmodern and post-Christian our culture is, and now I'm hearing that we are now post-Christian, we are heading even in some ways beyond Europe in our understanding of civilization, Christianity, that we now are finding people who literally do not know anything about the Bible or even who Jesus is, who Moses or David or Abraham or the disciples, they have no concept or no knowledge. We are entering into slowly a pre-Christian culture and world as we continually tip over in our times in which we live. But no matter in our modernity how much we try to run away from the truth of the Bible and our need for indeed Jesus, a Savior in our lives, all you have to do is scratch under the surface layer and see that in our culture and in our world, no matter how much secularism has gripped our society today, there is a silent cry for an indestructible and indomitable Savior. Because we all know we fall short. I don't know how many science fiction fans there are, but as my son dragged me to watch Dune 2, and now he wants to see it in IMAX for the second time, for those that are familiar with the story, as this cinematic production unfolded before me, gripped by the storyline, I could not help but to think about our culture. In Dune, the Lisan al-Ghaib refers to the prophesied Messiah in Fremen culture, translated the voice from the outer world. The Lisan al-Ghaib is supposedly an outsider, outside of the Fremen, who is slated to become a savior to the denizens of Arrakis. To the Fremen, the Lisan al-Ghaib is also known as Ahmadi, translated, the one who will lead us to paradise. And after almost $600 million in ticket sales since its release internationally, there's something that resonates with a search and a desire for an indomitable, indestructible Savior that can rescue us. It is the heart cry that we find in our culture, and it is our heart cry today. And from that cry, the words of Jesus of Nazareth, who cries out and reminds us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. A new world has begun in a Savior who is indestructible, who has conquered sin and death. A revolution has begun, fueled by the power of forgiveness and love and service to fellow man. And what happened to Jesus' body on Easter morning is what will happen to the whole universe as he renews it in a new heaven, a new earth. And we are invited to be part of that in the work, the resurrection work in the lives of others who are craving for a renewal, a do-over, a chance to experience life as God meant for it to be experienced. This indomitable, indestructible life can be yours as well, and he offers it to you in the person of Jesus Christ if you will come to him by faith. And this is what Easter is about. And as we think about that, may God meet you and satisfy your longing for renewal and newness and life found in the person of Jesus. Let's pray. If this is you, one who looks at the circumstances, the relationships, even their physical state, longs for a renewal, redemption, new life. Pray with me, will you? Jesus, I know I need new life. Jesus, I need renewal. I can't change my past, but you can redeem it for your glory. And my God, I invite you to be the one who gives me life as my Savior and as my Lord. Let me find the life that I've been looking for and find it in you. Lord, we give you thanks so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you remind us, even if we followed you for decades of our lives, that we are in constant need of finding renewal and new life. We thank you that because we've been reminded in this very special time of the year, during Holy Week, during Lenten season, and Easter Sunday morning, before we head off to our family brunches and lunches and dinners and festivities, Easter egg hunts, and all the great things in store for us in just a few minutes, we pray that we would run to the one who is our indestructible Savior, who by dying on the cross and granting us newness and life and forgiveness and actually making us a new creation and righteous, we run back to you today. We give you thanks. We praise you, Lord, for being our indestructible Savior. It is to you that we pray. Amen.